We continue our learning. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Now our Mishnah is going to deal with where the husband and wife have a dispute about the amount of the Ksuv that's owed after being divorced or after the husband passed away and the heirs are coming and they're discussing and they think that she deserves less. She thinks she deserves more. So the Mishnah says like this: a woman who became a widow or a grusha or became divorced. He omeres bisula nisasani. She claims, I deserve the full ksuva, the 200 zuz, because when we got married, I was a bisula. Vehu omer lo ki not so. The husband has a counterclaim. Ela almana nisasich. I married you as an almana. Your ksuva was only 400 zuz, and she doesn't have the ksuva to prove what it is. So what's the halacha? Says the Mishnah, im yesh edim sheyatzas bihinuma verosha parua ksuva sama sayim. Basically, we'll explain the details in a moment, but the point is that the woman is the one who has to bring proof, who needs Edim, to prove that she was a Basula when they got married. And what's the proof that she could bring? What could Edim say? I know she was a Basula when they got married. So number one is that the Mishnah says, Sheyatzas bihinuma. She went out with a hinuma. The Gemara has two interpretations what hinuma is, but either way, this was a sign that she was a Basula at the marriage because they only had this hinuma at the marriage of a basula. And a hinuma is, according to some, is a chuppah that was made, that it was decorated with hadasim. And others say hinuma is a veil from the word like tinuma, which means she could cover her face completely and take a little nap, doze off a little bit with that veil. So that was a veil, a special veil, only at weddings of Besula. So if Adam can testify, we were at the wedding, and she was wearing this hinuma. And virosha parua, it means her hair was untied, literally, it was uncovered, it was down on her shoulders, also the sign that she was a Besula. Then ksuva samasa, the ksuva is going to be 200. Witness testify that there's something was happening at the wedding that shows she's a basula, then she receives that. Now, of course, that implies if we don't have witnesses, then the husband wins. Then she's only going to get a ksuba of 100. Why should that be? Didn't we learn in the first perek several times, but specifically, let's say Mishnah Vav, the woman says, when we got married, I was violated after Eris. Sin, I deserve this. The husband says, no, low-key, maybe it was a mekachtos. So in all of those cases, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, which we follow, said that she is ne'emenis. Why is that so? And here, we're saying, no, she's not ne'emenis unless she has edim. The difference is like this, and we mentioned that before. The whole basis of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer's halacha, that we believe the woman is because she's a bari, she is certain, her claim is, I'm telling you that I was raped at this time, and the husband says, low-key, maybe not so. He's only a shema, he's only a maybe. He's not certain about his claim, he's making a counterclaim, but she is certain about her status, and he's not certain when he makes this counterclaim. However, over here, it's not true. Here, they're both a bari. She is claiming, I was a basulim when they got married, and he is claiming with certainty you are not a basulim when you got married. That being the case, and we're dealing with a money issue, so the husband is going to win unless she brings Edim. The same thing would be true, by the way, when it comes to the heirs, meaning, let's say, case of she's an almana, the husband's not making the claim. But nonetheless, the Beis Din is able to make the claim on behalf of the Yorshim, as if the father were alive, the husband in this case was alive, and therefore that also is a taina of bari, one bari against another bari, one claim of certainty against another claim of certainty. So therefore, and we would say hamotzi mechavero olav araya, she would have to bring a proof that indeed she was a basula in order to collect the full 200 zuz. Now, our Mishnah also is speaking about a case where she is the woman is going to be believed if she has witnesses, and that would be true even though the husband has amigo. Witnesses obviously are able to override and overpower amigo. What is the husband's amigo? So the husband could have claimed. He says, no, your ksuva is only 100 and not 200. He could have claimed, I paid you the ksuva already. testimony. And that would be, and he would be believed based on that Migo. So therefore, he should be believed based on the Migo here. I'm willing, I could have said, I paid you the full ksuba. Instead, I'm saying, no, but I'm willing to give you 100. That would have been a Migo, but because she has witnesses, that obviously overpowers that Migo. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer, Af Chiluk Kloyos Rayo. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka is coming to tell us is that besides a woman, besides a sign that she was a psula, that she was she had this veil or this canopy of hadassim, or Rosh HaParoah, her hair was uncovered at the wedding as a sign of being a psula, even chiluk kloyos is a raya, is a proof. The fact that they would distribute parched grain to the at the wedding, that would also be a sign that she was a besula, something they would do at the wedding, specifically at the wedding of a besula, and they give this grain to the children as if to say, to Teddy, we would throw out candies. So that would be evidence that she was a besula as well. Now, the Gemara says that this was obviously a custom, specifically in particular places. The Gemara says in Yud Zayinim and Beis that in Bavel there was something else. They would put at the wedding of a besula, they would put oil on the heads of the young kids as well, and that would also be a sign. If you have witnesses who can testify that they saw that at the wedding, and the wedding took place in Bavel, that would also be considered a sign. Perek Beis Mishnah Beis. Umodeh Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Yehoshua admits. Now, before we even move on to what he admits, let's remind ourselves of Rabbi Yehoshua. In the first parak, we had many Mishnayos where Rabbi Yehoshua disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer kept telling us that this woman is ne'emenes. She's believed to whatever claim it was regarding the ksuba. And Rabbi Yehoshua would say, lo mi pia anu chayin. No, we don't live literally by her words. She's not ne'emenes, and unless she can bring a proof, so the husband, we're going to believe the husband regarding this, the value of the ksuv that she's going to receive. So our mission is going to tell us that Rabbi Yeshua will admit in a particular case, and we'll have to understand why that is. He will admit that the woman is going to be believed, or maybe it's not a case of a woman, where the claim, one claim is going to be believed over the other, different than in the previous Mishnayos. Now, part of the background of this mission is understanding the principle of, which we mentioned in the past, HaPesha Asar Hu HaPesha Hiter, which is basically tells us that if someone is giving us all the information, and I only know that I only know the information because of them, and they put themselves in a situation of liability based on what they're telling us about themselves, and then they retract and they say, however, they qualify, and therefore now they're no longer liable. We can't say, we're not going to believe your second comment because you just put yourself in a negative light. Now, that's what it is. HaPesh Asa, the same mouth that prohibits themselves, puts themselves in a negative light, have the right now to qualify their statement. So a classic example, which I have in the Mishnah in the future, woman who comes in and says, I am an Ashes Ish, I am a married woman. Now, you didn't know that I got married, but by the way, now I'm divorced. So would we allow her to remarry? She doesn't have a get in front of her to prove she's divorced. I would say, no, you can't assume that you're divorced because you said you're a married woman. The answer is, of course we believe her that she's divorced because we only knew that she was a married woman because of her claim. That's HaPesha Asar Hu HaPesha Hidir. Now, there is an important machlokas between Rashi and Tosos under what circumstances this applies. Rashi says that the reason why this is true is because of what we call migo de'ibayi shasik. There's a migo here. What's the migo? This person, in the case of the example we gave, this woman could have not said anything, and we'd have thought she was single. So the fact that she is now admitting that, oh, I was married, but I'm divorced, we have to believe her. Migo because de'ibayi shasik, she could have been silent. But what if someone makes a claim? And now there is a response by a person, and they make a statement and say, you're right, but let's say if someone said, oh, about this woman, oh, I know, maybe not witnesses, but I know she was married, and she says, yes, I was married, I'm divorced now. So according to Rashi, there's no migo d'ibayi shasik. I could have been silent and nothing would have happened. She couldn't have been silent because someone made a claim against her. Tosus, however, holds that it's true, Pesha Asar could even apply in a case where there is a claim made made by a plaintiff, but there's no evidence, meaning you don't have, they don't, he doesn't have Adem to prove it, and there's nothing to support it, and the defendant now admits you're right, but, and qualifies, even that would be a case of Pesha Asar, who a Pesha Hitir, that where we would believe. So now our Mishnah begins. Umode Rabbi Yeshua, even though Rabbi Yeshua in Parak Aleph Mishnah Vav said that the woman is not believed, and that was the woman who said, I was raped after Erisin, and believe me, I know I'm not a Sulai was raped after Erisin, but why do we believe her? Because she could have said, Mukas Eitzani, I was injured, and maybe that's why I'm not a Besula, and I would have been in a better light. So that was a Pesha Asar. So Rabbi Yeshua said, we didn't believe her in that case. Because he did not hold of that Migo. He did not hold of that Migo. But the Migo in our Mishnah, he will hold of, and we'll have to explain why. What's the case Rabbi Yeshua would admit to? Ba'omer lachavero, person said to his friend, Sa dezo shelavicha haisa, this field belonged to your father, ulekach tiha heimenu. But I bought it from him. So what happens? You have someone, Reuven comes over to Shimon and says, by the way, the field that I'm on right now, no one's claiming anything, according to at least one way to read the Mishnah. No one's claiming anything. Rashi would learn the Mishnah this way. Someone says, Reuven and Shimon, by the way, this field that I'm living on, this house I'm living in, used to belong to your father, but I bought it from him. Shuneman, he is believed. Sha Pesha Asar or Pesha Iter. The one who asserted this upon himself, meaning Reuven, who said to Shimon, by the way, this house used to belong to your father. Now I put myself in a negative light. Reuven puts himself in a negative light because now Shimon will claim, and Shimon is now claiming, it used to belong to my father. Do you have proof that you bought it from my father? And Reuven does not. He doesn't have the deed. Doesn't have the document to prove it. So says Rabbi Yeshua, nonetheless, this person is believed, Reuven is believed to say that he bought the field from Shimon's father because Reuven was the one who initiated the fact that it used to belong to Shimon's father. Otherwise, we would not have had that information at all. So that is, and he doesn't bring any evidence, so it makes no difference. Now, according to Rashi, this only applies if, as we said, no one claimed anything. But Tosus would say, no, even if there would be a claim, hey, you're living in that house that used to belong to my father. And Shimon has no proof it used to belong to his father. And Reuven responds and says, oh, I know it used to belong to your father, but I bought it from him. So he would be believed as well. Okay, that's Tosus. Now, the Gemara on Daf Tezayin wants to know, so why does Rabbi Yeshua agree and accept this Migo in our Mishnah, but didn't like the Migo of the Mukas Eitz in the, a case of the Besula in the, or where she, we found her not to be Besula in Mishnah Vav in the first parak. So Rashi, by following his logic, would say, in our Mishnah, had the person, let's say, the person who's living there, is occupant of this house, of this field, had he not mentioned the other person's father, it never would have occurred to anyone to challenge the ownership of this person who's living there. But in the case of the Besula, in the case of that woman, the husband comes and makes a claim and says, hey, I found you're not a Besula. So she has no Migo. We're going to say, Migo di Baisha. So I'm going to have to say anything. That may be true when it comes to the house, because no one was claiming otherwise. But when it came to the woman, the husband says, hey, you're not a Besula. So now she has to say something. So that being the case, she has no Migo, she could have been silent. According to Tosfos, remember, you know, she doesn't have to be silent to have a Migo. So what would that mean? I'll tell you, the case is still different. The woman in that Mishnah could not have denied what the husband had said, because after all, she was found to be a non-Besula. But in our Mishnah, what do you mean? You could deny that it never belonged to that person's father. Oh, this used to belong to my father. You don't have proof to that. It never did. So you can deny that. So that's what the Gemara calls, interesting phrase the Gemara says, in the case of the woman, shor shachut lifanecha. There is an axe slaughtered in front of us. Meaning something just happened. She's not a basula. So we have to deal with this somehow. In a case of Shor Shachot, Lefanecha, Rabbi Yoshua does not believe in using Amigo. If Ain Shor Shachot Lefanecha, so then we have Amigo, and that's the case of our Mishnah. But the Mishnah continues here, Vimi Yesh Eidim Sheishel Aviv, Uvuhor Melechachti Amenu. But if there are Eidim, this is not just someone who's claiming, right? This is the Eidim. According to Rashi, there can't be anyone claiming at all. According to Tosos, there can someone who can come and claim, someone can come, but it's without evidence. And then there's still Amigo. But if there are Eidim Sheishel Aviv, that used to belong to Shimon's father, Vuhu Omer, and then in response to those Eidim, Reuven says, no, Lekachti Amenu, I bought it from him. So then, that obviously, he is not the source of the, or the only source of the, that it used to belong to the other person's father. We have proof it used to belong to his father. So there's no Peshasa Peshiter anymore, and therefore, Eino Neman, he would not be believed. Now, there is something which we'll understand a little bit better when eventually we learn Bava Basra, but it's worthwhile mentioning that here anyway. We'll try to make it as clear as possible. The Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin explains that the Mishnah here is talking about a case where Reuven, who is sitting in this field, was living on this field and using the produce, or living in this house and using the house for 3 years. And no one challenged him at all. So what would happen normally in that case? So believe it or not, if that would be true, then even if there are witnesses, even if we have Eidim, he should be believed. Meaning, even if Shimon brings Eidim and says, this house used to belong to my father, he has proof that it belonged to his father. And Reuven responds, yeah, but I've been here for 3 years and no one said boo to me. So that's what we call Cheskas Gimel Shanim. He's been there for 3 years, and that is a rule. We'll explain when we learn in the third paragraph of Bava Basra why that should be true. That Reuven has the right, is believed in such a case, even against the Eidim of Shimon. Because Reuven could say, I've been here for 3 years, and I didn't keep the contract, the deed, because no one said anything to me. Obviously I'm here, and guess what? And I bought it from your father. And Shimon can't say, well, you don't have proof you bought it from my father, but I have Eidim who say it used to belong to my father. That doesn't matter. So the question here is it why does the Mishnah say that if Shimon had Eidim that this used to belong to his father, that Reuven is Naneman to say I've been here and I bought it from him? I thought the rule of Cheskas Gimel Shanim is that he would be believed. He is Naneman. So the Gemara says, that's a good question. We must be speaking about a case where Reuven really does not have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. How's that possible? So the answer is that the third year, what happened was that the father passed away. He only ate the field when Shimon's father was the owner for 2 years. And then the father died, the original owner died, and then the son of the original owner, who was only a katan at that time, inherited the field. Since you can't make a chazaka on the property of a katan, so therefore you didn't really complete the cheskas gimel shanim, and that's why when Shimon has testimony, has two Eidim who say this used to belong to my father, Reuven will not have a cheskas gimel shanim, and therefore he's not Naaman. But once again, Rabbi Yeshua does admit that if there is no proof that it used to belong to Shimon's father, and Reuven is the sole provider of that information, then he has a Pesha Asar, and this is a Pesha Asar that Rabbi Yeshua will agree with, because there's no Shor Shachot Lefonecha, there's nothing in front of us that's telling us, ooh, there's something fishy going on here, as opposed to the case of the woman who was found not to be Basula. There is a Shor Shachot Lefonecha, and there's no Migo according to Rabbi Yeshua.